Good evening. By way of introduction, I'll say that Doug's presentation bothered me because I agree with 95% of it. And it's hard to define the way that Doug presented his Christianity, hard to define exactly where the difference is between my Judaism and his Christianity. I will make my presentation, and I'll try to emphasize those points that I think are the subtle differences. I'd have preferred if his presentation was more different than mine. But he made life difficult for me. So anyway,
He does that.
Yeah, he tends to do that. From a Jewish perspective, we know very little about God, except that he exists, that he created the world, and that because of his deep caring for the world, for doing good, he has intervened to set mankind on a proper course. From our perspective, God has summoned the Jewish people to a covenantal relation with him, in which he placed upon us and continually places upon us the responsibility of fulfilling his commandments. And I'll even say here the word in Hebrew for commandments, mitzvot. It's such a central concept in Judaism that God has placed upon the Jewish people the responsibility of fulfilling his commandments in this very, very physical world. And much of this system of commandments of mitzvot that God has placed upon the Jewish people, the commandments are about making this world a better place. We call it in Hebrew, tikkun olam, repairing the world. On bringing blessing to ourselves and bringing blessing to all human beings on the face of the planet. Because of God's love and because of his concern for the world, he has called upon us, the Jewish people, to walk in his footsteps and continue where he left off. God created the world. He brought good to the world. He brought light to the world. He brought blessing to the world. And we're called upon to bring further good and further life and further tikkun, further repairing to the world that God created. Now, obviously, Jews would not be fulfilling the myriad of commandments that are found in our scripture had we not been commanded by God. Those commandments are, I should say, the fulfillment of those commandments is an expression of our relationship to God. Everything begins with the experience of God the Creator and God the Commander, right? That is the bedrock foundation. That's where everything begins. But here I want to make it very clear that that experience of God, of being commanded by God, that's not the goal. And it's not the purpose and it's not the end game. The purpose of Judaism is not to bring you to faith. It's not to bring you to belief. The purpose is not to discover God. Rather, it begins with God, begins with the experience of God, and we are to express that experience. Doesn't it sound like Doug? We are to express. I got it mixed up. I'm reading the wrong notes. And we're to express that experience of God by fulfilling the commandments that lead to the improvement of this world, that lead to making this world a better place. So ultimately, from our perspective, and here there is a little bit of nuance of difference, it's not faith that counts. It's the deeds that flow from that experience of faith that counts. I'll put it like this, that faith is the womb that gives birth to deeds. But here's the real rub. That from our perspective, these commandments, while they certainly originate with God, and they're expressive of our relationship with God, and I guess this is also why I disagree with Mother Teresa, these commandments, we understand, have independent value for the good they bring to the world. Independent value. Again, they spring from faith, they're supposed to spring from faith. The best way to fulfill the commandments is an expression of faith, certainly. But nevertheless, even devoid of faith, the commandments improve the world. The fulfillment of the commandments improve the world one deed at a time. Which means that commandments performed unmindful of the relationship with God, there's a blemish there. But that performance is not meaningless and is not worthless. If one is lacking in the purity of faith, but acts as a Jew should act, well, that is minimally acceptable. We should never denigrate the accomplishment of good, even when it's done without a spiritual, without an intentional component. The good that God wants done is good when you get it done. Despite, doesn't matter why you did it, what your motivation, what your mindset, what your intentionality was at that very minute. If God's will is done, then it's done. Thank God. It might have been better. It certainly is better to do it with mindfulness, with intentionality, with spirituality as flowing from faith. But if that didn't happen and just did the good thing for another reason, for a bad reason, for the wrong reason, thank God the good got accomplished. Now, I want to say one more thing here. That life within the system of commandments, we believe, has in its power to return us to a more mindful relationship with the Creator. There's a reciprocal relationship here. Ideally, good works, to use the Christian term, spring from belief, from faith, from the experience of God, yes. But at the same time, we say two additional things. That if those works, those mitzvot, those commandments are done without faith, that's also minimally acceptable. And thirdly, the fulfillment of those deeds, even without the proper faith, has within it the capacity to return us to a deeper relationship with God, to create a relationship or to deepen a relationship that already exists. That means that fulfillment of the commandments, the living within the physical system of doing that God commandment, that God commanded, has in its power, it's designed to teach and reinforce values and beliefs. And then with that renewed belief and faith, we can go back and do better. And the doing better brings us to faith, and the faith leads us to doing, and it becomes a never-ending cycle. And so using Christian terms, I would certainly say that faith without works is dead. But I would say that works without faith is a work in progress. No, that wasn't meant to be funny.
Wait a second, I said something wrong there?
So through the living within the system of mitzvot, the experience of God can very well be developed and revitalized. If a Jew comes to me and says, I don't believe in God, I will say, okay, but now go and do what has to be done. And maybe that will bring you to believe in God. The great American Jewish theologian of the mid-20th century, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, he said the following. He said that Christians very often talk about a leap of faith. You have to get to that faith. Jews talk about a leap of action. Leap of action. Go in and do. Jump in and do. Get it done no matter where you are, and then we'll come and talk. In the same vein, I want to mention the words of a German Jewish philosopher from the beginning of the 20th century. His name was Franz Rosenzweig. And he said as follows. He said that in our day, many German Jews are assimilated. He also was an assimilated Jew, unconnected to Judaism, and he returned to Judaism. And he said that it's through the doing that the sense, the experience of God can often be acquired. The voice of God, the commander, if it's not heard before you do the commandments, the voice of God, the commander, can be heard through the doing of the commandments. Let me go further. There are many things that Jews believe. But most emphatically, and for those who are in my classes on Maimonides, this is against Maimonides, but he's in the minority opinion, very, very emphatically, Judaism does not have a creed or a dogma or a catechism. Because belief is not at the center of what we are. It's not the purpose. It's the foundation point from which we should spring, but it's not the purpose. And it's not the way we define a Jew. A Jew is not someone who believes. A good Jew is not someone who just believes. We don't use belief as the litmus test of who is in and who is out. A Jew is not commanded to believe. Rather, we assume that you have the experience of God, and then you're commanded to take that experience of God and act upon it. If we have to answer the question, how do we define a good Jew? It's one who does Jewish. Who does Jewish. And we don't even ask you about your faith. And like I said, we assume that it could happen that through the doing of Jewish, you come to the inner experience. I want to mention a very important insight of another American Jewish theologian of the mid-20th century. His name was Max Kedushin, and he said the following. He said that Judaism does not have a set of beliefs that make up a creed. Rather, what we have is a continually renewed experience that engenders within us what he termed value concepts. Not beliefs, not faith, but value concepts. And I'll explain what he meant by that. We don't have a dogma that commands us to believe that God created the world. But we have a commandment that says, once every 7 days, keep the Sabbath day. And through the keeping of the Sabbath day, through the refraining from doing work on the seventh day, like God at creation refrained from doing work on the seventh day, through that action, and through the experience of living the Sabbath, well, we experience the reality of divine creation, and that becomes part of our psyche. It's not a belief in creation, it's the experience that we brought into our own lives of that creation. We have no dogma, said Max Kedushin, that God redeemed us from slavery, from Egyptian slavery. Rather, we have a commandment once a year to celebrate the holiday of Passover that recreates the experience of going out from slavery to freedom, so it becomes part of our national DNA that we experience that. We don't believe that we went from slavery to freedom. We experience it every year when we sit down to our yearly Passover Seder. It's part of who we are. I remember when I went out of Egypt 3,000 years ago because I was there with my forefathers and I relive that every year. It's not a belief. It's part of the DNA of Jewish experience. It's not a matter of faith that God gave the Jewish people the Torah at Mount Sinai. Rather, through the daily study of Torah and the yearly experiencing of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai during the holiday of Shavuot, well, the truth of that event as a living reality becomes part of our DNA. It's through the doing that we acquire not this faith, we acquire this mindset of continual experience that makes us who we are. So that it's not faith that's centered in the heart or the mind, although it's also there, but it's rather a whole body experience. To say it differently, this consciousness is nurtured in the unitary reality of body and soul together, and we create this consciousness through fulfilling the commandments. Okay, now we Jews live with a deep sense of obligation to act according to the code of divine law, a deep sense of commandedness. It's the essence of the Jewish identity, and it's a source of great joy because we are proud to have been chosen to be commanded. Commandedness gives Jews a sense of adequacy and a sense of worth. Being chosen to be commanded, being chosen by God to receive His commandments, means to us that God trusts us, that God relies on us, that God believes in us, that He believes that we have it within us to live up to His demands. If He thought we weren't up to doing what He commands, He wouldn't have commanded. And it says explicitly at the end of the book of Deuteronomy that these commandments are within our grasp to perform. That it's not a hard thing. It's not in the heavens or beyond the oceans. I'm quoting, "Surely this Torah, which I enjoin upon you this day, is not too difficult for you, nor is it beyond your reach." Deuteronomy chapter 30. Which means that more than we talk about man's faith in God, we talk about God's faith in man. Real divine faith that human beings can eventually get it right. So God sets the standard And then he lets us loose to do our best to live up to it. I'm quoting again from the same chapter in Deuteronomy. See, I set before you this day life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his way and to keep his commandments. I have put before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. And if God says choose life, it means God believes that man has the capacity, the goodness within him, to choose life. Very often we choose death, but we have the capacity, the ability to choose life. And what I'm hinting at, what I'm getting at, is that Jews have no sense, like many Christians have, of some type of essential sinfulness, of some type of original sin that would prevent us from doing, as we are in this form on earth, from doing what God has commanded. We have no sense of needing to be redeemed, needing to be converted, needing to be saved from our present existential situation to the grace of God. No, as we are, God has faith in us, and we know that through giving us the commandments that we can do one good deed at a time, do at least some of what has to be done. And that's really critical here from a Jewish perspective. What it means, together with God's faith in us, it means there's absolutely no denigration on the part of God, on the part of Judaism, no denigration of the physical body, of human beings as they are, or of the corporal world. It's all redeemable. It's all potentially good. There's no need to escape from it. There's no need to be converted from it. There's no need to fundamentally change its essence. The corporal world and the body, the physical body, they do not stand in opposition to the spirit. And the body is not an obstacle to be overcome. The physical is not the enemy. The body and the physical world are here to be sanctified through the commandments. The world, therefore, is an opportunity to serve God and to become a co-creator with God the Creator. So Judaism is very much religion of the here and now. Very much religion of the of the physical world. It's this world we're in. And it's this world we're called to make holy. It's in this world that we find potential ultimate value. It's here that good is to be done. And it's here in this world that God is manifest through the good that we do. And it goes so far that the very, very famous German philosopher, in this case I'm not saying Jewish philosopher, the German philosopher Immanuel Kant, Kant went so far as to say that given that religion is all about the spiritual, it seems to me, said Kant, that Judaism is not a religion at all. Not a religion at all. One more thing I want to say. And here, I think we get to another crux of the difference between Doug and I. Doug talked a lot about good works, and it sounds very similar to what we Jews called commandments. But I suspect that we're really not talking about the same thing at all. We're both talking about works as opposed to faith, and to the degree that Doug emphasized the centrality of works. We're both talking about works. But when Doug says works and I say fulfillment of commandments, I think there's a very, very wide chasm between what he means, what Christians means, and what I mean when I say commandments. And it goes like this. That Jews are suspicious, generally, of what Christians call good works or ethical deeds or doing what Jesus would do. And the reason we're suspicious is because it seems to us that that type of talk and that type of direction is too amorphous. It's too undefined. It's too unregulated. It's too much based on subjective conscience of the individual. Too much based on what I, the Christian, define, understand, intuit, or have been inspired to understand as good. Because we Jews are convinced that human beings need clear laws, regulations, details, particulars of what is to be done and what is not to be done. A code that's absolutely binding and that individuals have a clear sense of obligation to fulfilling every little detail of that code. Because I can't always know what's right and wrong. With divine inspiration or without it, I can't know. And even if I intuit it, where would I get the inner fortitude to do exactly what I have to do? I have to see the code in front of me. I have to be told what it says, what's in and what's out, what's wrong and what's right, what's permitted and what's forbidden, and then I have the guide for my life. So for almost 2,000 years, Judaism has been accused by certain branches of Christianity as being legalistic, and we admit it. Judaism is legalistic. We understand that law is the salvation of humanity. Law is the framework for doing good. And because at the center of Judaism, the center of the Jewish vocabulary is commanded, not commanded, forbidden, permitted, allowed, sanctioned, not right and wrong, this is what you do. Since it's about following the legal code, therefore habitual, I emphasize that word habitual from the language of habit, habitual obedience becomes one of the great desideratum of Judaism. It's good to have good habits. Habit, from a Jewish perspective, is not bad. Good habits are the salvation of humanity. Not necessarily good conscience, but rather the sense that I have to do what the divine regulations, what the divine code tells me to do. It's true that Judaism leaves room for human independence and autonomy. There's some gray there, but at the solid core, at the core of Judaism, is a solid core of black and white legal regulations. And as we see it, there are very, very few men and very, very few women who can live consistently upright lives without the aid of a clear and detailed moral code. And to kind of begin the discussion that might take place at the end, later I will conclude by saying that Christians sometimes respond to the Jewish legalism by saying that man is too depraved to live a consistently upright life, even within the strictures of a clear code of behavior. That such a code of behavior only results, going back to Paul in the New Testament, only results in sin and violation. Because we'll never live up to it. Rather, many Christians say, the only hope is to be saved and redeemed through the grace of God that comes through belief in Jesus. And then, I think they'll say that once you have that grace that comes through belief, well, the moral code, the legal code, becomes unnecessary because through God's grace that has saved the Christian, there is some type of divine guidance or there's some type of intuition to do the right thing. And the Jewish response is, it doesn't work. It may work for rare, unique individuals, but for the masses, no way. You need, from a Jewish perspective, from the Jewish understanding of human nature and human psychology, you need the nitty-gritty of law, pure and simple. You need the habit of obedience. That's the foundation, from the Jewish perspective, that will bring blessing and does bring blessing in God into this world in which we live. Thank you.